Welcome to the Forzcast, everybody. We've just recorded an episode where we are talking all things USA pre-season tour. The games against Chelsea, Man U, LA Galaxy and Philadelphia Union. Also, I'll address those scandalous Foster breaks curfew stories that were floating about. A load of rubbish. This is the Forzcast. Come on.
Right, Fozzy, you have just come back from a 16-day stint in the States. We were there together for a few days, but other than that, we literally haven't spoke. So we're going to have a catch-up today, right?
Cool. Let's go for it. I'm going to break it down. I'll tell you exactly what we got up to. It was a wicked trip, I won't lie. It was basically 2 weeks with Wrexham in the USA. I was super interested at the start to see what the reaction and reception would have been for us. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And then at the end of the trip, we basically had like a 2 or 3 day, me and you, working with Nike in the Premier League. It was belting, weren't it, in Washington? So, so let's go from the very start then, okay?
Very start. So you fly out on the 16th of July, I think it
was. I'm glad you know that because I've forgotten everything about dates, days. Right. All of it blurs into one for me.
And the first game was Chelsea,
yep,
in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So did you go straight to North Carolina?
Yeah, so we flew. We actually couldn't fly direct to North Carolina, so we had to fly into Washington, and then from Washington we had to fly to North Carolina, which was about another 2 hour flight or whatever it is, either way. Landed down at the hotel in North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Wow, mate.
Unbelievable.
University of North Carolina. Phenomenal. What a gaff this place is. The facilities, the setup. It's basically, imagine like a whole town is geared around this university, right? The people that live there now probably were previous people that went to the university, to the college. It is quite literally centered around all of the sports that go on at that place. They have, I think, something like 80,000 students in total. So it is a very, very busy place. Thankfully, when we were there, actually, school's finished. You know what I mean? School is out. So there wasn't very, very many people on campus, which meant we got sort of free rein of the facilities. But straight away, we go in. The training ground is ridiculous, honestly.
So obviously, this is the equivalent of a university. Over here.
Yes.
Yeah? So it's the college.
It's bigger and better than any university you've ever seen in your life.
So let's talk, because the one thing I saw on your vlog was like when you went to training, right?
Yeah.
So that training pitch was at the college.
Yes. That's their training pitch. It's basically a 6,000 seat stadium.
The training
pitch. And that's the training pitch. And the training pitch was phenomenal. It was fantastic. We got to walk around everything. So even just to get to the training pitch, you've got to walk through the NFL field. You've got to walk through the indoor NFL field. You walk past all the lacrosse pitches, swimming pools, baseball, everything. You're walking past everything. And it is just the best equipment, the best pitches, the best setup. Everything is just, honestly, like the training ground there is better than most Premier League training grounds.
Right, so the gym, so let's talk about the gym. So
how big is the gym, by the way?
From what I saw on the video, it looks massive. But talk us through the gym, like how big is it? What kind of equipment and the quality of the stuff?
So pure scale and size of it is, it's hard to actually describe. Imagine going into the biggest gym you've ever been into in your life, right? And that's what we're talking. We're talking a warehouse size gym here. It had, so squat racks. It probably had 50 squat racks, wow. At least 50 squat racks. It's got everything you could ever wish for. It's got everything. There were actually quite a few students still there doing work, and they were doing it in classes with teachers and whatever. And you'd have groups of like 20 lads or 20 girls doing a session together. And it is so professional. So everybody's having a nice time, but you can tell that the ethos of the place is that if you're there, you're working and you're doing it properly. It's because you want to get better. You want to work hard. So everything straight away is just, it's top, top notch, honestly.
This is like a gate. The difference between like our university system and I think theirs is sports wise.
Yeah.
This is like a gateway into the NFL,
to
the NBA,
sports.
MLB,
yes.
You know, MLS, etc., yes. etc. So
whereas we have academies over here,
yes.
Pro academies for football, for rugby, for cricket, whatever it is. These guys have colleges.
That's where it's done.
So their colleges are where you get the young players coming through, and from there they get drafted and picked into the to the professional teams, whether it's NFL or soccer.
Which is why the facilities are so good, because it's basically like an academy.
So these colleges, for example, their budgets for the whole college, for the sports department, are bigger than most Premier League budgets. That's how big a deal it is out there. So where we were, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the college American football team, they are such a big deal, and it's such a massive team for the college that when it comes to drafting young lads, young players, they can now not just attract the best, but they can start to pay them as well. So some of these young players, they can actually go, right, we can pay you now. It's become, I think, a bit of a law almost now, whereas in years gone by, it was always a bit of a, you know, they could attract better players and they wanted to get the best ones. Now they can actually offer them contracts to come.
That's amazing.
So you've got 19, 20-year-old lads bowling around doing a college course, but also earning so much money because they might be the starting quarterback or the, I don't know, whatever it is, wide receiver?
Wide receiver,
don't
yeah.
Don't ask me, I ain't got a clue.
NFL, no.
I ain't got a clue.
But with over there though, so like if you're a college, if you're for a college like that, if you're starting quarterback, like wide receiver, something like that, you're a big star.
Big star.
Like properly famous.
Properly famous. In that place, like I say, 8,000 students, they live for their sporting events as well. So on a Friday night, if it's a soccer game, Saturday night, if it's the NFL, whatever it is, it's packing out a stadium. They've got a 51,000-seater stadium on site, which is ridiculous.
51?
It's ridiculous.
So that's bigger than...
So that's where we play Chelsea. So that's where we played Chelsea, right, on this stadium. It was phenomenal. They had just relayed the pitch as well, right? They had relayed this pitch 4 days prior to it, right?
Yeah, talk us about this pitch, because like this boggled my brain.
Yeah, this is really interesting, actually. Okay, so they had, I think it was AstroTurf on there at first, yeah? Their 4G, whatever it was. But they wanted to lay an actual pitch on there. So what they did is they grew this pitch away from the actual stadium on like a tarpaulin. They grew it on a tarpaulin, right? So that the roots don't actually go down into the ground. The roots have to actually get really compacted. They have to get really tight. So the grass is actually a really tight grass.
So
yeah?
Because there's nowhere for them to grow down,
yeah.
They'll knit together.
They knit together and become really thick, right? So they grow it on a tarpaulin, and that at that point then, when it's ready, good to go, they then move it into the stadium and they lay it like a carpet. Like you're talking like strips and lines and stuff like that. But when you're on the actual pitch, and this is 4 days it's been there, you couldn't see any lines. Honestly, it was like a putting green. It was phenomenal. Couldn't see any lines, even during the game, playing on it. Nothing came up. Nothing got lifted up or anything like that.
Could you notice the difference between that grass pitch?
It's a different grass. It's a different grass. I think they call it like Bermuda grass or something like that. Whatever it is, right? It's a different grass. But it was beautiful. Honestly, it was absolutely beautiful. It was sweltering hot. It was 30 degrees, even at sort of 7 o'clock at night. It was 30 degrees. Chelsea, I'll give it to them, were phenomenal. We played Chelsea. We got beat 5-0. I only played the first half. We were losing 2-0. They scored after about, it's a nightmare. But they scored after like 3 or 4 minutes or something like that. And so you're thinking, oh gosh. But you could see straight away, Chelsea was so sharp. Like really, really sharp. They were popping it nicely. The Maurizio Pochettino way is obviously high intensity and he demands a lot from his players. But you could see that the way that they're trying to play, and I think was what they'll do this year in the Premier League as well, is they were, I wouldn't say happy for us to have the ball at centre-back. So I could roll it out to my centre-back, but they would start to press us a little bit. But they would, as soon as the ball went to the wing-back, so we play a 3-5-2, as soon as the ball went to the wing-back, woof, that is their trigger, that is their press, that is when they go and chase it down like you
Why
wouldn't
would
believe.
That be? Why wouldn't they press the centre-halves?
Because if you try and press in that position and we get out, then they've got players committed. What they do is they wait for it. They almost like set a trap, basically. So they will see us moving it to our left back, our right wing back or our left back. And as it's slowly making its way there, they will start to slowly shift numbers over. So as soon as it gets to them, boom, they've got a player ready to nick it off them. That might go into the midfielder or the forward, and that's it. It's full frontal press. Genuinely, it's like they just come sprinting at you as hard as you possibly can.
Even in that heat.
And be fair to them, I was really impressed with them because their work rate was phenomenal. And that is, like I say, that's the Mauricio Pochettino way. I said this at the end of last season. I think he's a really good signing for Chelsea because Chelsea have got a lot of young players, a lot of energetic players, and they need somebody to get them working in a system that's going to suit that. And if he can get that out of them every week, there'll be a problem this year, I promise you. They'll do really well this season.
What, Champions League well?
Yeah, I think so. I'd put them down for a top four finish this season. I was really impressed with them, like I say. Wow. Some of the new boys that they had, that Nkunku came on in the second half, scored a goal, really good finish. But they looked really solid, really nice.
And then, when just quickly on the grass, did you notice with this new type of grass? Did you notice the ball bounce differently, roll differently?
The only thing I'd say, it felt a little bit dead. It didn't kind of bounce very well.
Really?
Because this grass is laid on AstroTurf. I don't know what it is. It just sort of died a little bit. But Chelsea don't care about that because they're playing with the ball on the deck.
What ball were you playing? What actual match ball?
It was an Adidas. It's what the women are using in the World Cup right now. Okay. The Adidas, I don't know what it's called, but we were using Adidas balls. They're not bad balls, to be fair. I didn't mind them. But the grass was just a little bit dead. But yeah, 5-0. It wasn't the end of the world. We were 3-0 down with like going into injury time. They scored two last minute goals. So it kind of, I wouldn't say flattered them a bit because they were a very good team.
Yeah, but there were a few late goals.
There were a few late goals. But do you know what? We put a good performance in. We got a good shift in there. The lads got a good work from it. And that was what it was all about, really.
So when you're playing in these pre-season games, clearly you don't want to get popped in every game.
Yeah.
But after losing 5-0 to Chelsea, are the manager and the players bothered about the score too much?
Not really. No, the manager came in at full time and he kind of just said what I've said, really. Listen, lad, you did really well. You gave a good account of yourself. We had a few little chances. Like I said, we played some decent football, to be fair, and they scored two late goals, which kind of flattered them a little bit. But it's fine. It is what it is. Like I say, pre-season for me is all about fitness. It's about getting it back into your legs again. Just getting your bearings back more than anything. Genuinely, is just getting your bearings back, getting that confidence of being on a football pitch again. Thankfully got through that game, no injuries, no scares, no nothing. And from that moment on, you move up. We had to move on then to LA. We've got some big games on this tour, by the way. So Chelsea, LA Galaxy, Manchester United, and then finished with one in Philadelphia against Philadelphia Union. So from that moment, we kind of like recover as much as you can. You recover as much as you can. And then the next morning, we left at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So the very next day?
The very next day, 4 o'clock in the morning, we left the hotel to get to the airport to fly. And it was a big flight, basically, over to LA.
Yeah, so with Wrexham now, obviously, they've become very, very popular in the States.
Yes.
With the Welcome to Wrexham documentary, famous ownership.
Yeah.
When you're travelling through airports and stuff, are you lot getting recognised?
A little bit. Not too much. Not too much. What you need to understand is America is a very big place, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to the sporting side of it, so when we're in a sporting environment, so take the game in Chapel Hill against Chelsea, 51,000 seater stadium, sold out to the rafters. It was crazy, right? I didn't know what to expect from the fans because we're playing Chelsea, a proven Premier League team, Champions League winners, Premier League winners. I'm expecting to see a sea of blue in the crowd. Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to all be Chelsea fans. It's just the way that it goes. It was so not that way. Genuinely, we are. I would estimate 35-40% of the fans, the people inside the stadium, had a red shirt on, had a Wrexham jersey on. And that bit blew our minds. Genuinely. There were times where they were singing my song, you know, the Super Ben Foster in goal.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, that one. They were singing like the Paul Mullins song. They were like properly cheering for us. It was phenomenal. Seriously, the reaction, like when they were reading names out of our team list and screaming and shouting. And I was thinking, wow, this is taking off. This is a big deal. But when you're going through the airports, it's not a sporting crowd. Do you know what I mean?
Course, yeah.
It's a different type of people. So you're not getting noticed too much. But I'd say even Chelsea players, Man United players walking through that aren't really going to get noticed so much because it's not that environment. So travelling wasn't a problem, to be perfectly honest.
So you then get into... So the Chelsea game was the 18th. You then played Galaxy on the 22nd.
So I flew over to LA. It's a big flight. I think it's like 4 or 5 hours or something like that.
So what'd you do? What'd you do in LA?
We landed in LA. And like I say, it's a full day of traveling. We left at 4 a.m. to get to the airport. It takes an hour and a half or whatever. And then you fly in 4.5 hours. It just takes its toll on you. It really does. And when you've played the night before as well, that day is basically a bit of a write-off. It's a travel day. Lads are tired anyway. So you get to the hotel, you check in, a lovely hotel it was, to be fair. And it's just about recovery. You know, you don't even go down the training ground. We just go and get in the hotel pool. Again, time difference is big. It was 5 hours when you're in North Carolina. When you go over to the West Coast, it's 8 hours time difference.
Okay.
So again, it's playing with your body clock. It's playing with how tired you are and just adding to everything.
So even
really.
Internally, you've got a 3 hour time zone difference.
A 3 hour time zone, because it's the other side of the country, pretty much. Yeah. It's the other side of the country. But LA was lovely. I've got to say, it was lovely. Like I say, a fantastic hotel. The rest of that day is just a write-off day. It's just recover, get in the pool, get some dinner in you, get some food in you, rehydrate, all that kind of stuff, and just chill.
One of the days, Ben, it was quite nice to see, because I think people think that they're so structured football clubs. Yeah. One of the days, I can't remember, I watched it on the vlog, you were meant to train in the morning and they changed the schedule around and you ended up basically not training and having a recovery session. Is that right?
Recovery session, yes. Yeah.
When was that?
I think it probably would have been... actually, do you know what it was? It was the morning of the game. We were supposed to have a training session against that, the morning of the game against LA Galaxy. But like I say, the day before that, and bearing in mind it's 32, 33, 34 degrees, it's roasting, right? And when you're travelling and you're playing, it just takes its toll on you. So we had a really tough training session the day before. Lads were on their asses. So the gaffer was like, listen, we're just going to have a recovery session, get in the pool, we'll play the game tonight good as gold. And that's what it was lovely. But we were able to, I think the beauty of going away with somebody like Wrexham, when it's not in that sporting environment, you can go into the local town, you can go and sightsee. And to be fair to the gaffer, he was massive on making sure everybody got to go and see what that town is about. So when we're in North Carolina, we had a woman tour guide with us. She would tell us all the facts and figures. So the first night at dinner, she would sit down with us all and tell us basically about North Carolina as a state, as like the place that we're around, what it's famous for, all that kind of stuff. So we land in LA, does the same sort of thing. We're allowed to go out into the town, have a little mooch about, go down to the beach. Manhattan Beach, by the way, is what it's called. It was lovely. It was really, really nice. Really nice beach. And that was the beauty of it. We actually did a podcast in Philadelphia, didn't we?
We did.
Washington. We were talking to some of the Chelsea guys, the Chelsea logistics guys, basically, and they were like, listen, it's been a bit of a nightmare for some of the lads because they haven't been able to get out and see anything. They're basically in a hotel. They can't leave the hotel because there's too many people around and they get noticed too much. So I feel for them a little bit. You know, they're on pre-season tour in America. It would be such a good chance and opportunity to go and see the world, see the wherever you are, sightseeing, all that kind of stuff, and you're just sort of stuck in a hotel room, training ground, stadium, training ground.
You could be
hotel.
Anywhere, couldn't you?
You could be anywhere
so
in the world.
What did you guys get up to in LA?
So in LA, it was a fantastic hotel, and they had a massive sort of open reception area. They had games in there, like they had a big shuffleboard like thing that we were playing.
Table tennis.
We had the pool that we could go. We actually had a par 3 golf course at the back of our place. Yeah, so we could go and sort of have a little chip and putt and all that kind of stuff. It was lovely. But then what we did do, we found ourselves doing quite a lot, is just going down to the beach, Manhattan Beach. It was fantastic, lovely place. And you could just go and have a walk. You could get in the sea if you want. So you've got plenty of things that you can kill time with. But then we come to the game, we play the game against LA Galaxy. We actually, do you know what, we played really, really well. I think at halftime it was 0-0. I played the first half, and then Chomp came on in the second half. And I think we won the game 4-0 in the end. But it was a fantastic performance for the boys. They really put a shift in. I think the main thing was, like I say, is just getting your bearings back, but it's getting the work in the legs, yeah? Performance, you want a little bit of a decent performance, but it's about getting that work right. And the lads did it. And like we were doing things like before game, we would do, we'd weigh ourselves basically. And then we'd do how much fluid you've lost after the game. So you'd go and weigh yourself. And some lads were losing 2.5-3 kilo in weight.
That's
just
crazy.
From pure fluid loss, because it was so hot. It was absolutely roasting.
So what kind of fluid, when you were rehydrating, are you drinking Gatorade, Powerade?
Yeah, all this.
All of that?
All of this, yeah.
Yeah?
Gatorade, they've got Gatorade out there. One of the drinks that we had was called Body Armor. Body Armor, it's the same sort of thing as like a Gatorade, really, but it's got like coconut water in it as well. They were lovely. They got some proper funky flavours as
Electrolyte
drink, but with coconut water. It was, I was all over this new one called Body Armor.
And can you drink, basically, you can't drink enough of that stuff?
No, you can't drink enough of it. Like, don't get me wrong, if you're working out, you can just drink it and guzzle it all day long, because it's got the electrolytes, the salts, all the bits and bobs that you need in it. And to be fair, like I say, every time we went to a stadium or a training ground, the fridge is just stocked with it.
Yeah,
it's absolutely stocked with it. Or we got coolers everywhere because that's where they used to. They used to train in the heat. So it's all equipped for it. Lovely.
So with training in the heat, when you finish the game or finish training, is there any kind of cold therapy? Is it cold showers?
Ice baths? Ice baths, yeah. You know, nobody really has a cold shower, but ice baths for fun. Like, again, they're all... The LA Galaxy... So we would go into the LA Galaxy Stadium, but we would... They've got a training ground next to it, so we'd train there. We obviously played the game in the stadium, but we'd go to the training ground and we'd get changed there. They've got all the facilities again. You know, the LA Galaxy Stadium's lovely. I don't think it's the biggest stadium in the world, 28,000 I think it is, but it's lovely. It is. It's really nice. They've got, like I say, proper ice baths there. They've got proper facilities. It's lovely. I actually saw the LA Galaxy goalie, Jonathan Bond.
Oh, nice.
Met up with him out there, sort of just chatting. He was asking about Wrexham, how it's going, and that was talking about his season, how it's going.
Jonathan Bond.
The time of his life, mate, is what he's having.
Yeah?
Yeah, LA Galaxy starting goalkeeper, living out in LA. He loves it, honestly.
Fantastic.
Absolutely loves it.
Great stuff.
So we play LA Galaxy on the night, and it's a very similar thing. Again, once we've played the game, we're up at 4 a.m. to leave the hotel. Honestly, you need it like a hole in the head, seriously. This 4 a.m. wake-up calls, and you're kind of trundling down and getting on the coach, and everybody is just tired. You can see it. Everybody's just knackered.
Do you start learning the characters in the squad? And
oh, yeah, like, what they're like, yeah.
Yeah, do you kind of have ones that you go... God, they're a morning bird. They're always chirpy in the morning.
And then you have the opposite ones. You have the opposite ones that you know to just steer clear of.
Where are you?
I'm all right, to be fair. I'm good to go. I'm pretty much good to go. I kept saying to the lads, like, listen, I know it's a lot of travelling. I know you're all going to be tired, but we're in America, lads, right? We're having a wicked time. It is. You get to see some wicked sights, play some wicked stadiums. So you just got to take it all in and enjoy it. And I know we're travelling at 4 a.m. in the morning, but in the end of the world, is it?
You're not chatting too much. You're quite a quiet traveller.
Yeah, nobody's travelling. Nobody's chatting too much because when you're on a coach at 4 a.m. in the morning, it's pitch black outside. Nobody wants to hear it.
You're playing Zelda, no?
No, I'm on my phone. I'm just sort of like, I might close my eyes again for a minute because it takes so long to get places.
Filming other players,
filming the lads being asleep.
So who are you filming? And I'm putting on your Instagram. He's fast asleep.
Couple of the young lads just fall asleep at a moment's notice, mate. Honestly, like traveling everywhere, they're always just asleep and their mouths open and stuff. So you got to take the time now and then to just, you know, belittle them a little bit. Put it on your Instagram.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Right. So talk to me about San Diego because when you do eventually finish playing for Wrexham, that's your next place you want to go to, right?
San Diego is phenomenal, mate. Honestly, I've got some friends who have told me about San Diego and they've said it is a world-class place. It's one of the best you can go. And it did not disappoint.
Really?
Seriously, this place is just phenomenal. The hotel, again, fantastic hotel, but just the city in general.
What's so good about it?
I just liked how laid back it was and safe and clean. Okay. And it just felt homely. Do you know what I mean? Just really, really nice and homely and... Just like, yeah, you could go and wander. I think we were there for the most part. We were there for 4 days and we had a lot of time, free time to just go and wander and explore and see the sights and go down to the beach and just do all bits and bobs like that. We actually, one of the days, we had a full on day off out there, and we'd booked to go to the TaylorMade. It's called the TaylorMade Kingdom.
Now this place is a bit of a... mythical, like legendary. So I've heard a lot about this place.
Oh, this place is phenomenal. So fair play to TaylorMade for hooking us up because we didn't really know what to expect. And apparently to get into the kingdom, it's like, it's proper hard, you know? Like they've never had a pro football team, pro soccer team there, yeah? They've never had a Man United or anything like that. Nobody's had the invitation before. And we were lucky enough to get the invitation, right? So we bowled up, there was about 15 players, there was about 5 staff. 20 of us in total, and they just looked after us from the moment we walked in.
They
basically walked in the front door. They've got like Wrexham embroidered TaylorMade staff bags all over the place. They're basically showing us through all the facilities, how it all works, how they make clubs, how quickly they can turn them around, showing us the history of TaylorMade, showing us all the new products that they've got. And then after that, they're like, right, listen, we're going to go out onto the driving range. And it's not just a normal driving range, by the way. It's ridiculous. Like, it's that Bermuda grass, tight knitted. It's like a carpet.
Don't get your club stuck in it.
And you can just go and do what you want. We had a few little challenges. And then it was basically just swing away, boys. Yeah. Swing away.
How are you swinging on the day?
All right, to be fair. We did a... We started off with a bit of a... you had to try and basically do a lob wedge over a little board. And we made a competition of it all. And I went out in the first round. I shanked the life out.
Who won?
Anthony Ford.
Well done.
Yeah, Anthony Ford did it. He was lovely. So eventually you get closer and closer to this like wall and you've got to
flop it over.
And it was him and Chompy in the final, and Fordy won it anyway. And the prize for winning, it was like a set of personalised wedges.
Wow.
I know. It was pretty cool. So Fordy was absolutely
made by
buzzing.
Tiger, you know.
Yeah, you know. So he was absolutely buzzing. Then we did like, we had a few different other challenges. And then, like I say, it was just swing away. And then the boys got treated to a full set of irons as well. Like a full set of everything. I'm talking brand new, tailor-made P790s. We're talking all the irons, all the woods, all the putters, like a brand new bag.
Oh, buzzing.
So he was taking all the orders down from the lads, and that was a massive surprise. We were so happy with that. What a day. And I'll tell you as well, they had this like burger company come in and set up a burger stand.
What?
This burger is right up there, you know.
Yeah?
Oh, right up there. One of the best I've had in a long time. It was phenomenal.
Okay, so when the big sticks came out, driver,
yeah,
there was one lad, so you put an Instagram story up, who, as you said, he doesn't play.
Oh, he does play.
He's
obviously played a bit before, man, but he must play.
His swing.
Once every 3 months.
His swing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The speed, the clubhead speed is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tell them who is it, and what did the TaylorMade people say?
So Tom O'Connor, I put an Instagram story out about this actually. I'll put it on screen if you're watching so you can see this swing. It is just a thing of absolute beauty. It is so beautiful. So the TaylorMade guys straight away were like, "Ooh, that's a nice swing." And then you watch him hit it and he's hitting a high draw every single shot.
And what kind of yardage are we talking?
Oh, so he was carrying it 325, 330, carrying it. I mean, every single time, high draw, real high draw, right? The total was 350, 360 every single time, right? So the boys at TaylorMade were like, "Let's just go and get the TrackMan quickly, all right? We just want to get the TrackMan so we can have a look at your stats, your club head speed, ball speed, angle of this, angle of that." And they're looking at the data as he's doing it real time, and both of them were just sort of clapping him every single time, going,
"Wow,
that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal." His club head speed was 100 and... I think his club head speed was 185 pretty much every time, right? Which is on the top end of being a pro. So most of the pros...
Like tour pro?
Yeah, tour pro. Tour pros, I think, about 175-ish, 170. He was hitting 184, 85 every single time, and they were absolutely creaming off him. Seriously creaming off him.
Are we going to see him on the Golfing GK?
Oh, we need to get him on the Golfing GK. He's a beautiful player. Absolutely beautiful. Remains to be seen what his short game's like, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to go off what his driving ability was like, woof.
Okay, big shout out to TaylorMade then.
Big shout out to
TaylorMade. Biggest question though. Did you pick up a new putter that works?
Yeah, they're going to hook me up with one of the new GT Spiders. Apparently, it's going to do the trick.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm going to just start sinking everything.
Great.
So it's game over now. All right.
So we're going to do a Fozcast scramble and go like 8 under.
Easy.
Yeah, no worries.
Easy, mate.
Okay, right. On to the game.
Yeah.
Against Man United.
Yeah.
So, stadium, tell us about that. Fans, everything else.
So the stadium's called the Snapdragon Stadium, in San Diego, 35,000 seater stadium, brand new. It is beautiful.
Oh, is it a new stadium?
Brilliant. What a stadium it was. It was one of the, probably the most impressive when you were inside. When you were inside and you look around, you go, "Wow, yeah, this is proper. This is lovely." So Manchester United, it was basically their 23s, their under 23s. But you got some good players in. You got Hannibal was playing, Johnny Evans was playing.
Hang on a sec, he's not 23.
I know, yeah, Johnny Evans definitely not 23. But they've got a good team out. You know, even the Man United 23s, they're top players still, yeah? They're top players. Most of them would have been out on loan in League One, League Two last season, yeah? Most of them would have been doing that. So you're coming up against a good set of
they're
lads.
They're the next generation of...
They are the next generation. I'd say that game in particular, the Man United game, was probably our most impressive performance, yeah? The lads put a shift in first and foremost, but the quality of football was top class.
Good.
I actually did a piece for Mark Goldbridge on Zoom before the game, and he just asked me sort of basically what to expect from the game, what sort of team we're putting out, what sort of team we'd be likely to be facing in Manchester United, and I just said, like, listen, we're a team of experienced players. You know, we've got 30-somethings in our team. We know how to play football matches and we know how to win football matches. Whereas Man United, you're talking about 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, and they're a little bit wet behind the ears still. Obviously, they haven't had their career yet, you know. So I'd say what you could probably expect is Man United would be technically better than us, for sure. But when it came down to sort of nous and know-how, game management, physicality, aerial ability, I'd say we'd probably dominate. And that's exactly how the game went. You know, we scored our first two goals off of set pieces, balls into the box. Our second goal, classic, throw in, flick on at the front post, come in at the back post.
Bento's a special.
Bento's a special, head it in. And I think actually all three of our goals came from corners or crosses or set pieces or throw-ins. And that's how it goes. Their goal, well-worked goal, stood it up to the back post, came running in, good finish. But the boys were just fantastic. They put in a real shift, played some real nice football. It wasn't just lump it long. We were playing some good stuff. So that was an impressive performance for us, really.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, we did have a bit of bad news because Super Paul Mullin picked up an injury.
Oh, we did. It was a horrible one as well. I felt sorry for the goalie a little bit because he kind of got stuck in no man's land a little bit. Basically, we played a ball over the top. Paul Mullin beat his defender to it, knocked it round the defender. And as it's bouncing, Paul Mullin thinks he can just turn round and run onto the ball. The goalie has already come out at this point. So Paul didn't know the goalie is literally on top of him at this moment in time. Paul Mullin heads it past the goalie, but at the same time, the goalie just clatters into him. Right. I mean, smashes him as well. The reason why Paul Mullin did so much damage, and the damage he did was brutal, by the way. He fractured four of his ribs and then punctured a lung. The reason why he did all of that damage was because he didn't know the goalie was there. When he's headed the ball, he just thinks he's running into open space. But because he didn't know the goalie was there, he didn't have a chance to sort of brace or set or anything. So he's fully relaxed at that moment in time. No muscles are protecting the ribs or anything. And it was horrible because as soon as he goes down, you think, oh, that looked nasty. And then Paul Mullin, just as a player, is not the type of guy to just stay down either. He'll jump straight back up. He will put on a show to make sure, like, no, I'm all right, I'm absolutely fine.
You knew he was injured.
I knew he was injured straight away. So, yeah, unfortunately for Paul, he's out for a little bit. The bad news as well, I think he might have to stay in America for 10 days because of the punctured lung. He's not allowed to fly home with the team.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we wish Paul all the best. We're going to miss him for sure.
Going to need him back pretty soon,
aren't
we?
Need him back. So I don't know how long he's going to be, but, you know, I'd say, you know, something like fractured ribs, you're talking at least a month or so.
Yeah, okay. And then just, we touched on it earlier, but it was a nice opportunity for you to catch up with a couple of friends. So first of all, 35-year-old Johnny Evans, I believe he's on a short-term deal.
Yeah.
Safe to say he still got it.
Still got it, mate. He was lovely.
Player.
Absolute player. He's again, I'm almost certain Man United will sign him this season for a season.
I'm sure of it,
and I don't see why they wouldn't do it. He's what Johnny Evans is. The goalie gives him the ball, he comes walking out with it, parades out with it, passes it into midfield.
He's got better as he's got.
He's got that ability to be able to find those passes into the midfield. So then it's basically like you say, give the ball to the good ones, yeah? And Johnny Evans is very good at giving the ball to the good ones so that they can turn and get up the pitch. And that's what it's about. So I managed to get his shirt after the game for the giveaway for the Manchester United
vlog.
We'll
put a link down below to the vlog.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that vlog, go and watch it. It's a really good episode, to be honest. They've got the Johnny Evans shirt. I give that away. I'm giving away a pair of gloves from the vlog. It's a belter. It's a no-brainer.
And then you also got to see another former teammate, Darren Fletcher.
Yeah, Fletch is one of the... I think Fletcher's got a bit of a free job at... not free job, I mean basically free reign at Man United. He helps with the 23s, he helps with the 18s, he helps with the first team.
Like a kind of development and
he's
coach.
Doing a bit of all sorts, really. But Fletch is that guy. You want him around the place. He's such a positive effect on everybody. He does things properly. He's very professional. He knows what he's talking about. So he is the sort of guy that you want around the place anyway. So the whole game, fantastic. We're absolutely buzzing with us. We managed to get out into San Diego a little bit to see the sights and go and see this or that, whatever.
Well, I know you'd had a night out.
Well, we didn't have a night out. I think this is the bit here. It's not actually a night out. So basically one night we had some food at 7 o'clock, and the manager's happy with us going into town. It's not a problem. We can go into town and we can go and see the sights and all that kind of stuff. Don't be out back too late. Don't be back any later than sort of like 10:30 or something like that. Just be sensible, really. So we had food at 7 o'clock, and then there's a few of us were like, right, should we just go into town and have a look about? There was a baseball match on, actually. The Padres were playing. So we was like, yeah, cool. We'll go and have a little walk around San Diego. It's a lovely place to go anyway. So we're walking around. It's mad, actually, because the stadium was packed, right? And it's right in town. Yeah, in town, yeah? Stadium's packed, but it's like roads aren't closed or anything. Everything just goes on as normal. It's like not a problem. So we go into town. We find ourselves in this like axe throwing place. I don't know if you've ever done this, by the way. It's what a place. It's so if axe throwing. Guys, you ever done it? How good is it? It's so good, right? You basically got all different axes, two-handed axes, one-hand bad boy. You even got like a shovel or something, and you're just launching it into like wood on the. Oh, it's wicked! Like a target. We had a class time. If you want to watch it on the vlog. It's really really good. And then after that, we were starving. Every one of us was starving. So we had food at 7. We're doing all this axe stuff, walking around. And I was like, let's go and just try and find somewhere that's doing food, right? So we went to this first place and we walked in. I said, are you still doing food? And she was like, no, we stopped serving like at 9 o'clock. And I was like, oh, damn. So we left there, went to another place. And as we walked into this second place, right, it was just rammoed. I mean, rammoed. And I said to the boys, I said, lads, listen, I said, probably not a best idea to go in here, to be fair. One, I don't know if they're going to be doing food, but it's just so busy. We're like, all right, cool. Out of that place, into the next one. And eventually we found like a karaoke bar, yeah, that it weren't so busy, to be fair, but they were serving food. So I was like, oh, get in there. So it was about 9:15, ordered a few like sliders or whatever it was, watched a few people doing karaoke. There was a woman who was unbelievable, by the way. She was ridiculous at karaoke. But anyway, that was it. So anyway, back in the taxi, home by 10-ish, whatever.
Yeah.
Lovely. Nice night. Well, sensible night. We are grown men, by the way.
You are grown men. So the next day, I get fired a WhatsApp with a press link.
Yeah.
And it was Wrexham night out, breaking curfew, kicked out of a bar, like that. So it's got sent to our little work WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
I've read it and I'm like, I replied to one lad saying, tittle tattle.
Tittle tattle.
And it turned out to be.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So like, first of all, what I found funny is there was no names mentioned of the players apart from me. I'm the only one being mentioned in this. Yeah, it's only me.
Ben
Foster breaks curfew. And I'm thinking, no, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. I was literally like, we got back and I remember talking to the assistant manager about it. I was saying, oh mate, we've been to this axe throwing thing. It's incredible. Like, have you ever done it? And he was like, no, I've never done it. I'm showing him pictures. I'm showing him video. I was like, mate, it's class. If you get a chance to do it tomorrow or something, go and do it. It's world class. So he knew what it was. He knew we were all back in time. There is no curfew. We didn't break any curfew or like that, but it is what it is. So apparently one of the bars that we kind of walked back out of, somebody in there must have seen us trying to go in. And then we've turned back out and walked away. And they've, I don't know how that would work. Well, at that point, what would they do? Would they ring the papers or would they send an email or something?
In the article, it said that the bouncers had spoke to them and said you refused entry.
So the bouncer had gone and spoke to the whoever it was.
I don't know.
So either way, yes. Either way, at some point, somebody has rung like the papers or something to say that we got. Like, come on, like really?
Yeah.
No, but that's what it was. That's the world that we live in. So, yeah.
There you go. And then obviously, I don't think we talked about, you beat Man United.
Yeah.
3-1.
3-1.
Lads were at it.
We have spoke about it.
Did we actually speak about it?
We spoke about it,
sorry.
Yeah. It was fantastic, like I say. And there, from then, it was over to Philadelphia.
A long one then. So you go right from East Coast over to.
So we're leaving the
8-hour
time zone difference to a 5-hour time zone difference.
Yeah.
Over to Philadelphia.
A couple of flights over to Philly.
Yeah. It was a single flight over to Philadelphia. No, it was a couple, I think, maybe, actually. Yeah, it was a long one. It was, again, another long day of travel. 4 a.m. leave, standard.
Yeah.
And it was, again, write-off day. It was a day of travel, a day of recovery. Got to the hotel in Philadelphia. It was a lovely hotel, actually, a big Marriott.
Yeah.
Beautiful hotel. And I've got to say, Philadelphia as a city, beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely,
like
though.
A lot of history, a lot of culture.
Oh, huge
the
amount
buildings,
of history.
Like real top class buildings, wouldn't they? Because at this point, you had already come out.
Yeah.
You had come out to Philadelphia because you wanted to watch the Philadelphia game, didn't you?
Yeah. We were doing a couple of pods, a bit of work with the Premier League. So I came out. But I was really needed for the weekend.
Yeah.
Or not needed, but here for the weekend. But I said to you, I'm coming out a couple of days early because you don't want to go to America for 2.5 days.
No. Wow.
So I actually caught up with a mate in New York and had a couple of nice days, to
New
be
York.
Fair. New York. But so in Philadelphia, you go to Philadelphia. What is the one thing you do when you go to Philadelphia?
Get a Philly cheesesteak.
What's the second thing you do when you go to Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Adrian?
Oh, the Rocco steps, of course. Yeah, that's literally the first thing we did, you know. Yeah, so we landed. We had like loads of delays, so we had to get two flights that day. The second flight was delayed 3 hours. Ooh. So we were sitting in the airport for 3 hours waiting for this second flight. By the time we actually landed in Philadelphia, bear in mind we left San Diego at 4 a.m. We got into Philadelphia at 8 p.m. at night, right? And we'd already planned to go to Rob McElhenney's bar because he's got a lovely bar in Philadelphia. So what we had on the schedule was to basically just go pop our heads into the bar, say hello to the staff. We knew there was going to be a lot of Wrexham fans there anyway, so we popped in, said hello, had a picture out front, and then made our way to the Rocky steps. We went to see the Rocky statue. Yeah, it's great. They're steps. Yeah. They're lovely.
You go, you walk up the steps.
Yeah.
You go.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else there, is there?
Honestly, wasted on us a little bit because we were all so tired from traveling. So once you actually finally made your way up the steps in 32-33 degree heat, everyone was just like, can we go to bed now, please? Can we go to bed? So everyone was knackered, but it was nice. We got some photos, all that kind of stuff.
And it was great for Rob, because Rob McElhenney's from...
He's from Philadelphia.
His show, you know, everything about it.
Yeah.
I did see a picture of Rob, okay, which I did comment on an Instagram post. So Rob, obviously owner of Wrexham, massive, massive sports fan in Philly, isn't he? He was holding a half Philly, half Wrexham scarf.
Was he?
Yeah. I will try and put the picture up. And I did comment on it. And I said, I think this is the only time in the world that this is acceptable for Rob.
Any other time,
yeah.
It's not.
Any other time, split scarf.
Yeah,
like Rob, the English feel quite strongly about
it. Yeah,
Rob,
you need to know that in England, a split scarf ain't a thing,
but
mate.
Rob most certainly got a pass.
He can pull it off. I'll give him a pass for that one.
He owns one. He's from the other.
Yeah, he loves his city. He loves his Wrexham.
He was at the game, wasn't he?
He was at the game.
That was wild. That game.
Yeah. So that game, like I say, we're coming to the end of the trip now. The lads are tired. They're on our asses. We've had a lot of travelling. And basically, it was a case of, come on, let's just see if we can get through this game. No injuries. Put on a decent performance. That'll do. Do you know
how
what I mean?
Hot was it?
It was the hottest. It was the hottest. It was about 36 degrees that day. That day was actually the hottest day of the year so far in Philadelphia.
Was it?
Yeah, it was the hottest day of the year.
It was unbearable.
It was 36 degrees. It was just, sweat fest.
When you came out for your warm-up, I saw you warming up and Chomp walked over and we caught each other's eye and I just stood there with my can of beer.
Yeah, having a nice time.
And
yeah,
the look on his poor face was
jealous.
As say.
Pure jealousy.
Just swap us over. Right,
I was going out for my warm-up like 15 minutes later than what I normally would because it was
so
hot.
Yeah, you were late, weren't you?
I'm going to come out, I'll catch a few balls and then I'll be good to go because it was just so hot. It was silly. So anyway, the game kicked off and it was 1-1. The match, I was supposed to be playing the full match, full 90 minutes. So we got to half time, 1-1. They scored with the free kick, deflected free kick in the last minute of the first half.
And then this on screen now.
Yeah.
Popped up on the stadium announcement boards and on the like the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
And the message basically said,
severe weather, basically. Severe weather. A storm is on its way. Get yourself inside. So in America, what they do is they're so used to having these storms just come and hit. Flash storms, basically. And what they do in America is they don't just call the game off. Players will go in. And they will just wait. They wait as long as it takes, yeah? And I was talking to some of the actual the Philadelphia players, and they were like, oh, listen, like, we'll play this game tonight. And I'm like, but you know what I mean? What if we're waiting 3 hours? They're like, it's not a thing. We'll still play this game tonight. And I was like, wow. So anyway, the game kicked off at 7:30, played the first half, and then we were basically twiddling our thumbs.
The rain. So let's just talk about the weather.
The rain, the lightning, the thunder. It was like the world was ending.
Yeah, well, I went home.
Yeah, it was, honestly, it was outrageous, right? It was just, phenomenal, phenomenal rain, like nothing you've ever seen. So all the fans go in. Most of them just go into the concourses.
And most went home after about 45 minutes. Yeah.
So we're all waiting for a while. And what they need to do out there is they've got a rule of something like, they have to go 10 minutes before any lightning is seen in the area. And then once that's done, they wait half an hour and then they can start the game.
After the last lightning struck, they start the timer.
Yeah, they start the timer, right? But the lightning just kept coming.
Yeah.
So we're all thinking this is not going to start. It gets started again. 11 p.m. at night, the game starts. And fair play, there were still a couple thousand fans in the stadium. But by this point, all of the lads that have played the first half are stiff as a board.
So we're talking 2 hours here.
Talking best part of 3 hours, right? And The lads were stiff as a board at this point. And so the manager comes in after about an hour and a half. He goes, listen, lads, he said, change of plan. They're still pretty sure the game's going to get started, but it could be for another hour or so. So what we're going to do is we're going to make 11 substitutions, right? Everybody's going to come off and we're going to bring a whole new team on. So that's what he did. And fair play to him, because the lads, nobody really wants to get started again at that point. You're going to have to do a whole new warm-up. Like I say, you're stiff as a board anyway. So it's just a sensible decision. So the game kicked off at 11 o'clock, finished at, what, quarter to midnight.
So what are the lads doing that got subbed off? Because I believe Sneaky Little Weasel found a nice little bit of an area, didn't you?
Yeah, well, like literally outside of our changing rooms, it was like a VIP area sort of thing. And there were like a few fans and that. But then if you just walk past the fans a little bit, they had like a little food zone.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So the food that they were serving in this little VIP area is like a bad boy buffet, like a proper buffet as well. We're talking ribs. They had a slider section. Yeah. They had all sorts. Like it was so good. So I walked my way up there and I was like, oh, what's up here? Found it and straight away got on the lads group chat, boys, get yourself up here now. Food is popping. So they came up. We just had all of our food while we're still waiting for the game to get started again. And then eventually, like I say, got started, then went out and watched it. It was still raining. We got soaked. We got absolutely soaked, but it wasn't a problem. Game finished. Thankfully, no injuries or anything like that.
Yep.
And that was it. And then it was end of kind of USA trip for the boys, really, for the rest of the Wrexham team. It was end of USA trip.
The lads flew home the next morning.
So what time do you think they left the hotel?
Oh, it was early, wasn't it?
4 a.m.? Come on, I've only said 4 a.m. about 100 times.
4 a.m.?
Yeah, so 4 a.m. leave for the boys. And to basically, they got a drive to New York and then they were flying straight home to Heathrow from that moment on. But for me, though, it wasn't the end of the trip yet.
No.
So at this point here, me and you jumped in a car at about 7:30 in the morning.
We did.
And drove down to Philadelphia, which is about...
No, we drove to DC, from Philly.
Yeah, not Philly. We were in Philly. We drove down. It's about a two-hour drive to Washington.
Yeah.
Because we had, basically, I had some like pre-existing media requirements that I had to fulfill with Nike in the Premier League. It's the summer series out there in Washington at the moment. It's been a fantastic tournament by all accounts. So the teams out there were Newcastle, Fulham, Brighton, Aston Villa, Chelsea, and one more?
Brentford.
Did I not say Brentford? Either way, there were a good few Premier League teams out there. They had like a round-robin competition, actually, in playing in different stadiums around America. And by all accounts, like the fan engagement, the stadiums were sold out. We landed in Washington on the Saturday. I had, in the morning... went to a school, a local elementary school. Did a bit of community work. It was a fantastic
Played
school.
Played a bit of inside footy, didn't you?
Yeah, inside footy. Some of the Aston Villa lads were there. Matty Cash, Ollie Watkins was there. We were like playing football with the kids, basically. Yeah. It was a good laugh, wasn't it? And then in the afternoon, the guys from Nike were like, listen, we're going to go to the British ambassador's house this afternoon. It's a bit of a soiree. It's a bit of
a garden party.
It's a bit
at
of
the
a,
embassy.
At the British embassy. It's a big deal. So pack some nice clothes. Like, you know, we had some nice trainers on, like a nice little Reese jumper number. And we turned up to this event, not really knowing what to expect or how big a scale it was or anything like that. It was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The British ambassador's house in Washington is some gaff.
It's not a two-bed semi.
It is some gaff. It is like a proper stately home. It's lovely. Yeah. We're in the garden party. You've got marquees up. You've got canapes. They've got like champagne getting offered about on waiters, little like things, little, what are they called? Waiters. What are they called?
Trays?
Yeah, trays. Oh my God. Waiters, trays. Waiters bowling around
there,
with
so
all
there
this.
Was lads from Brentford there.
Lads from Brentford, Fulham Villa. Most of it was there. You had a load of like football pundits and commentators.
Two Robbies were there. Robbie Earl and Robbie Musto.
Robbie Musto.
Who's big in America, aren't
celebrities.
They?
Michael Owen was there. Owen Hargreaves. Basically, I saw Brian McBride used to play for Fulham.
Yeah, what did you say to Brian McBride?
So Brian McBride, right, he looks well, to be fair to him. I remember playing against him for Fulham a few years back. Oh, I'm talking like 10 years ago, actually. Probably longer. And I remember playing against him and Heider Helgerson up front for Fulham, right? And they were disgusting. Them two up front were a handful, horrible handful, about as physical as you could possibly get. Yeah. I knew as a goalie that there were no free balls, no free aerial balls, no free balls, full stop, right? So if I'm coming out for a ball, I'm going to have either Heider or Brian McBride elbowing me, trying to head it out of my hands, everything. And I remember playing against him thinking, yeah, I love this. I'd love to play on your team. So I remember saying, I said to him, I remember playing against you ages ago. You were horrible, Brian. And he just laughed. But he looked well, to be fair. It was nice. It was a nice little do. But very quickly, what was a beautiful,
lovely evening,
sophisticated late afternoon in Washington turned into absolute farce.
A biblical disaster.
Mate, honestly, within half an hour, right, this lovely 35 degree, sunny, beautiful day turned into a
monsoon.
A flash monsoon. So the clouds started come in and they kept saying, no, I think it'll be all right. It's not supposed to be too bad. It's not, I think it'll pass. It's fine. It did not pass. It went straight over us and it, within minutes, the place was just
the worst thing I've ever seen. Was it you?
The worst rain you've ever seen. The wind was outrageous, right? Tables were just getting zipped away. The lining on the top of the marquee was blown off.
So there must have been 200 people there?
Yeah, 200 people.
And there was two or three quite big marquee stroke gazebos. Yeah. So we were staying under there.
Underneath that, yeah. But the rain.
Thomas Frank
looked worried. He looked really worried because at one point it started lightning, and I mean proper lightning, yeah? Where, like, because it was raining so hard, right? I'm talking, you couldn't go out. If you stepped out into it for 2 seconds, you're drenched.
You are drenched,
right? Proper rain. The water was like, it had basically saturated the ground so much that we were standing in an inch of water. And if that lightning was to have struck the ground where we were,
we're dead.
Dead ski.
Everyone.
Double dead. Quick dead.
But there was the guy when we were, because people were saying, we're going to have to, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So there was a guy shouting, right, we're going to have to evacuate into the embassy.
Yeah. But I don't think they wanted us to go into the embassy because everybody had muddy shoes at this point. Everybody was drenched and it was kind of like, we don't really want you to come in.
But you have to. Because there was this guy saying, move or you will die.
Move or you'll die. It's as simple as that. But then it got to the point where somebody, I remember looking up and somebody just said, just go. You just need to go. So if you've got a car outside, just go. Go and get in the car and go. So thankfully, we did have a car outside.
Big John, and we ran outside.
Yeah,
didn't we?
So we ran outside, got straight in a car. Every one of us drenched. So I'm talking proper drenched in water.
But then when we were driving home, it was torrential. Trees
had been blown over on top of cars. There was like debris everywhere.
It
was crazy. Like water, like driving through proper like water soaked, like the roads were like puddle, like not puddles, what are they called? Like flooded. It was just flooded everywhere. Yeah. It was crazy.
Well, that was good fun, wasn't it? What day was that? That was on the Saturday.
Yeah. So the Saturday night, once we'd done that, got back to the hotel, quick shower. We had a podcast booked in.
It was a good one.
So we had
2 weeks.
It's out in 2 weeks' time. So we had Super Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank on the podcast.
And we did.
Jimmy did not disappoint, did he?
No.
Sometimes when you get people on, you're not really sure how it's going to go and you're a little bit sort of apprehensive. Jimmy was the boy. It's as simple as that. Jimmy was the boy.
Jimmy was class.
We finished the podcast, and big shout out to the guys at soccer.com as well and at Nike for hooking it up. They looked after us. They came with all the camera equipment, the recording, sound, everything, and they looked after us, got a room for us. And Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was fantastic. So much so that when he left, everybody went, wow, that was brilliant.
Yeah,
so
keep
your ears peered out for that one, because
it's good stories, some really, great really good, players he played against. And he was like, God, how many goals did he score? When we were doing the research, we were like,
right foot. So anyway, we did that, banged it out, and then just went out for some dinner that night.
Dinner
with the night guys, Premier League guys, had a bit of food, lovely. And then on Sunday was the big day, really, wasn't it? It was the Summer Series final day at the FedEx Stadium in Washington. So we were there to take in the
Villa versus Brentford
game.
Can we just talk about whose goal was it? Konsa,
oh my God. Ezri Konsa scored.
He basically 18-yard box.
Picked the ball up on the edge of his box, ran straight through the middle of the pitch, just knocked people out of the way and buried it. Top schnitzel. Absolute top schnitzel. Fantastic goal. Villa looked sharp, by the way. Brentford went into an early 2-0 lead. Villa brought it back to 3-2. Finished 3-all in the end. Villa looked sharp.
Yeah.
Villa looked very, very sharp. Very impressed with them. And then after that was the Chelsea-Fulham game. Interestingly, we got to watch that from Kevin Durant's box, didn't we? Which was pretty cool.
Did. So we went and met Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And you had a little chit-chat with him.
A little chit-chat with a big man. Just chatting. He was asking about Wrexham. He genuinely was. He was asking about Wrexham. I was saying, like, you know, what's it like for you? Because he's got a 5% stake in Philadelphia Union. So he was like, no, mate. He said, it's getting massive over here. Obviously, Messi coming over just lifts everything. He says, but no, I'm into it. I'm watching. He says, I've been watching the Wrexham documentary, what Wrexham games. I was amazing. Like, wow, this is crazy. So he was cool. He was really good. But then he had to disappear because he was doing the coin toss for the Chelsea game. And he was like, guys, you can just stay in here. It's fine. Not a problem. So we were like, oh, love that big dog.
Seemed like a lovely guy.
Lovely guy, yeah. So we stayed in his box, watched the game. And then I had to go down to the pitch at halftime because I was doing a kind of like a crossbar challenge. Yeah. So
you had Francis Tiafoe, didn't you?
Yeah. So I met Francis Tiafoe down at the tunnel just before halftime. He had his tennis racket and tennis
balls. So just quickly, Ben, Francis Tiafoe is American top 10
tennis player. Yeah. Top 10 in the world.
Yes.
Proper tennis player, lovely bloke. And he had his tennis racket and tennis ball. And he was doing the same as what I was doing, but he was trying to hit the crossbar of his tennis ball, yeah?
And you're kicking the football.
And I'm kicking the football. So we're starting on the 6-yard line. None of us hit it.
Hit the 6-yard line, didn't he?
No, he didn't. No, we're
level. Oh, did he hit the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then we go back onto the penalty spot. And then I hit it, he hits it, we're drawing. Then we go to the 18-yard line, none of us hit it. And then we go back onto the D, and I hit it on my third attempt. He misses with all his tennis ball. I felt a bit sorry for him, to be fair, because that's hard, you know.
Really?
To hit it with a tennis ball, with your tennis racket, is a tough, tough ask, right? Yeah.
How tough is it?
Yeah, well, it's not that tough, because then I did at one point borrow his tennis ball and tennis racket, and with like my second or third go, absolutely creamed the crossbar. The crowd went wild. Foster's off celebrating all over the place.
You went proper American then.
Damn right.
He was bouncing. We'll put it on.
It was my moment, all right?
Yeah,
the
it was your moment.
Me, yeah?
You
my
were
moment.
Bouncing around.
Yeah, so I was buzzing with that. That was nice. We got a good bit of content. There's a Philadelphia vlog, actually. Philadelphia, Washington / Washington vlog.
Yeah.
Coming out. I think it came out yesterday. It's out now. It's a good episode. It's a really good watch. And that was that. Went back up to the Kevin Durant's box, watched the second half. And that was it, basically. End of trip. Once we, Chelsea won that game 2-0. Again, they looked impressive. Very, very impressive. And then back to the hotel, shower, had a bit of food, and that was it. It was straight to the airport, get on the flight home, and just quickly, we've got to mention it, jet lag.
Yeah, it sucks.
Jet lag the last couple of days has been...
I mean, we are very, very fortunate that we get to do these... Awesome, awesome.
I don't care, mate.
However,
jet lag is real deal.
However,
all right?
Jet lag sucks.
So we got back at about what? 1 PM, landed at Heathrow, 1 PM UK time. That day was just a write-off. Like we were sleeping all over the show. I got home straight away, went to bed, right?
Did you?
I went to bed that night. I was so tired. Went to bed at 9:30, woke up at 2:50.
See,
in the
I went to bed at 3 AM.
It was horrible. Like, you're all over the place. So I went to bed. I woke up at 2:50 in the morning and I was up from that moment on. I couldn't get back to sleep. So I went downstairs. I was just chilling. Before I know it, I've got to leave for training because I've got training that day for Wrexham. So I've got to drive, trained, probably not very well. And then I'm like a mess. But thankfully managed to long it out until about 10 o'clock that night. Slept all the way through 7 till 7 o'clock. So I feel like I'm back on it now.
Good.
I feel like I'm back to normal.
Good, because it's... Now, what, Tuesday?
Wednesday. Yeah.
First game of the season at the weekend.
First game of the weekend of the new season on Saturday.
Excited.
Home to MK Dons. Absolutely buzzing. I love it when the season starts. I'm not a big fan of pre-season. I'm not. I don't like it. It's like you're just getting pulled from pillar to post. You're on no real schedule. And I like a bit of uniformity. I like knowing that if it's Saturday, I like knowing what my day's off, when I'm training, and I can plan my working week around it. So, yeah, bring on the season. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting.
But I feel
like we've had a fantastic, fantastic pre-season. Really good work done. Got some good performances in there as well.
Yeah. And America, mate, just quickly, America and football, soccer is massively on the up, isn't it?
Because
we can't not talk about football in America without mentioning Messi.
Yeah, Messi.
And him moving to Miami. So I think at the time of filming this, he's had 2 games, 3 goals, 1 assist.
Obviously. Why wouldn't they? But just even just talking about the Wrexham, like the reception we had, and how people would honestly like crazy for it. They knew who we were. You're talking about a National League team, and they know who we were. We had supporters in every single stadium. I mean, proper supporters, thousands of fans cheering us and looking after it. We are their adopted team.
It's mad because I heard so many people saying, you know, as you're walking through and there's people asking you for photos, I heard so many people going, that's the Wrexham goalkeeper. Yeah. And it's like, hey.
Yeah. Cycling GK got some love out there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cycling GK got some serious love out in America. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Yeah, yeah. The amount of people who said, love the Fozcast, love the Cycling GK, love what you're doing, all the best this season. It was really, really nice. A real eye-opener.
Absolutely. I think we're good, mate. That's a good little summary.
That's a summary.
Before we sign off, goalkeeping news today.
Yeah.
Gigi Buffon is apparently retiring.
Oh, man. The football world is going to be a worse off place without the legend that is Gigi Buffon. What is he, 44?
45.
45 years old.
Played over 1,100 games.
To still be playing at that top level like he was, it's just, yeah, you don't get many Gigi Buffons.
Is he one of the greatest of all time?
Yeah, top five goalkeepers of all time, without doubt. Changed the game. Just an absolute animal, athlete, experience, nous, proper, charismatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gigi, enjoy your retirement, big dog. That's it. That is the USA tour wrapped up.
Yeah, well done. Looking forward to the season, mate.
Looking forward to the season,
mate.
Up the Fozcast, everybody. See you soon.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.